I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome into an episode of The Memo. It is Thursday, November 10th. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke and producer Chris Kiefer this morning.
Hey,
how are we, guys?
How's it going?
I know I said this afternoon to welcome in, and then I just said this morning, but that's because time is abstract.
Yes, it is. Time is not linear.
No, it's sort of like a big bubble.
Ball of timey-wimey.
Yeah.
Whatever Doctor Who put it.
I don't know.
But, hey, is America great again yet?
Has anybody bought that URL?
I'm gonna ask that every day.
America till it great is. Again.
Dot or does com. That not actually start happening until January when he's inaugurated?
Let's see. .com is not isamericagreatagain.com is not isamericagreatagainyet.com has expired.
Let's snatch it up.
So I think that's your answer right there.
We'll just have it'll be like the Abe Vigoda dead. Just have one word up there. Yes or no.
That was a real site. Is Abe Vigoda dead.com and then they had one job and they screwed it up the day he died, they tweeted yes.
I thought they well I went to the site the day he died and they
well
had
they
no.
they fixed it but they had a Twitter and every day they would you know at the same time every day around 10 a.m. they
right.
would post yes and then he died like at like 12:30 and they were like you had one job
seriously
you screwed that up. That was one of those wild ones though because everybody thought Fish was dead for years and years and years.
Who?
But Abe Vigoda, he played a character named
Fish. Oh, yeah, right, sorry.
But,
yeah.
He died.
Yeah, he is.
Welcome to the memo. We're so happy here.
Yay.
Everything's positive and butterflies and lollipops and rainbows.
I'm still trying to get caught up on sleep.
Yeah, how you doing? What's that?
What's what?
That drink.
That iced coffee?
Sure.
Used to be an iced coffee. Now it's in my belly.
I didn't know if it was chocolate milk.
Running through my blood.
How's that working out for you?
Getting me going. It's all right. You know, the wife brought it to me because she loves me. Brought me a biscuit, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't bring you anything because I don't love you.
Yeah, we knew that already, Derek.
There you go. Have you gotten on the whole train of, you know, the Simpsons predict everything?
Yeah, I don't watch The Simpsons hardly at all. I just don't watch them at all.
You've only got 600 episodes.
I wish I did, but, you know, some of that stuff maybe not appropriate for my children.
It was the year 2000 when they predicted Donald Trump being president.
Remind me, I've seen that clip. It's like
him going down an escalator.
What exactly? Remind me what it just says that he's running or that he is president, or I forgot.
He was running for president. So,
yeah.
Creepy things.
They predicted the Cubs, too?
I don't remember if they did the Cubs. That they did do the night that Arnold Palmer died was the season premiere, and they were in. Homer was making an Arnold Palmer in the kitchen, and he was like, these will be good forever, just like Arnold Palmer. And then he died about 2 hours later. Because I watched that episode. I had a screener of it, and I had watched it the night before. And I was like, oh, that's funny. And then the next night after it aired, he died.
Not so funny.
So,
wow.
Depends on your sense of humor.
The Simpsons have been on since I was in junior high. It's just ridiculous. Is Matt Groening like ageless?
Yes, like Arnold Palmer.
Like Abe Vigoda?
Like Abe Vigoda. We got a full show on this Thursday, the last one of the week.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We'll say goodbye to you at the end, and you'll have to find some way to survive until Monday.
We're going to have
Brad Locke's dulcet tones.
Exactly. Maybe America will be great again by the time we come back Monday. We'll have to see.
We don't make promises on this show.
No, we don't. We'll see. We got Caleb Bedillion coming on to talk about a couple of recent appointments.
Mm-hmm.
Outreach coordinator, neighborhood coordinator here in Tupelo. We've got Scott Morris going to review Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. I hear it's pretty good, so I'm looking forward to going to see that at some point. One of those things, probably one of those you really need to see in the theater, maybe even in 3D, which I'm very leery of 3D.
They give you a barf bag with the 3D on this one.
I bet.
You get popcorn and a barf bag.
And you'll be discussing? You'll be discussing the scene section.
I discussed something.
We'll be discussing the scene section today, Alex.
That's
my really bad Sean Connery.
Good Lord.
I'm not even warmed up yet.
It was so bad I recognized it. Like, that's how awful it was.
Yeah.
Like, it was so unrecognizable. It had to be something you couldn't even be touching.
I can't do impressions.
So. I can't do a good Sean Connery.
I've heard you do some good impressions, though.
Like who? I do a really good Chris Kiefer, but I can't do it while he's in the room.
Yeah.
What?
Listen, what do you think?
Wow, that's really good, Derek.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
That was really good, Derek.
Oh, yeah. Hold on, let me try it again when I'm in on the joke.
I mean, Chris Kiefer's really easy to impersonate.
Boy.
It strains the voice when I do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it does. Makes it feel like a real man, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I could never achieve that level of He-Man that Chris Kiefer is. I'm going to go ahead and get started. We want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by South, offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo.
All right, let's welcome Caleb Bedillion, local government reporter, into the show. Caleb, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Brad.
Good, man. I got a couple of stories I want to talk to you about today involving these two coordinator positions. One of them is a brand new position, the outreach coordinator. Marcus Gary, a few days ago, was started working in that capacity, appointed by Mayor Jason Shelton. So first off, just kind of what's the purpose, what's the goal of this position here?
Well, Brad, this job is intended to promote better communication between city leaders and the community, which sounds kind of vague, but Jason Shelton, Tupelo's mayor, proposed creating this job in the wake of some of the protest, unrest, discord we saw over the summer with people, you know, marching in the streets over the Ronnie Shumpert shooting and displeasure over, you know, alleged, you know, mistreatment from the Tupelo Police Department. So, the mayor has really tried to thread the needle here. He's defended the police department's actions in the Shumpert shooting, has called it, you know, a justified shooting,
right,
and has not, you know, acknowledged any problems with the police department. And he's tried to reframe all the problems as communication problems.
Sure.
So, you know, he wants to say, you know, doing community policing, but apparently not enough people know about it.
Right.
So he's really, in response to some of the complaints we've heard, he's tried to reframe everything as communication problems. And so some of the solutions he's offered have been intended to improve communication and promote better communication. So to that end, new job, outreach coordinator.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of the unrest and the anger has come from African Americans, and Marcus Gary is an African American, which seems like a wise move to
Right. Certainly, I mean, the job is called the community outreach coordinator, and his job, you know, is to do outreach to the whole city, but I think particularly in the beginning of this job, we're going to see that person really working to try and make inroads specifically into some of the minority communities in the city.
And actually, Jason Shelton knows Marcus Gary, has known him for a while.
Yeah, they played football together at Tupelo. Well, I say played. I obviously wasn't there. My impression is that our mayor was a third-string quarterback.
Caleb was running back.
I'm a little young, Derek, but yeah, they were on the team together, known each other for about 25 years, I understand.
Right, yeah. And Marcus Gary was part of that 1992 state championship squad. But anyway, he had, so he's from Tupelo. He had been in Memphis for a little while.
Yeah, he's been back in Tupelo about, I think, 7 or 8 months is what he told me. He had been the assistant manager at the Hilton Garden Inn in downtown. He's been in the hospitality industry for a while. I believe that's what he was doing in Memphis.
Right.
But now kind of making a little transition into community development.
What's kind of his goals for this position?
You know, he's, you know, obviously just talking up efforts to try and improve the communication. He's really talking a lot about just what the community has meant to him, and he thinks it's his time to help kind of contribute to, you know, that Tupelo tradition of strong, you know, civic-mindedness, Tupelo story.
Right, sure. And then we've got the neighborhood coordinator position, which is not really a new position. I guess they've kind of rewritten or revised the job description. Casey Grist had been in that position on an interim basis and now is the permanent neighborhood coordinator, correct?
Right. So the city did have a neighborhood coordinator full-time. That person died, and those duties then were passed off to Sherry Cochran, who did a lot of different stuff. Keep Tupelo Beautiful stuff, beautification, you know, influential, for example, in that park over by Mill Village. So she was doing a lot of things. She retired in August, and in her absence, the city decided to kind of retool. Since the job she was doing had kind of been cobbled together over the years, sure. They decided to break out just the neighborhood coordinator part of it, to return that to being a position that just does neighborhood coordinating. But then they also decided it just needed to be a part-time position. So yeah, Casey Grist, who also is from Tupelo, her father served one term as mayor from 81 to 85, Jimmy Caldwell. She was away from Tupelo, came back some years ago. So yeah, her job would just be coordinating with the various volunteer kind of neighborhood associations we have in the city, just working with them on the projects that they have, helping them achieve their visions.
All right. Well, good stuff. You can read these stories in today's journal or at djournal.com. Caleb, appreciate your time.
Sure thing.
Hey, be sure to check out the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. You can find new episodes every Wednesday in the afternoon. You can listen for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, inside commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Some Northeast Mississippi counties reported high voter turnout in Tuesday's presidential election. Lee County voter turnout broke a record as 60% of registered voters turned in ballots. A total of 31,800 votes were cast in Lee County on Tuesday. Lee County Circuit Clerk Camille Roberts said when people come out and vote, you realize they care and are worried about their voter rights. She said she wishes turnout was like that in every election. Meanwhile, circuit clerks in Pontotoc, Alcorn, and Prentiss counties also reported high turnout numbers. Clerks there said they had many people who voted for the first time in many years. Pontotoc County Circuit Clerk Melinda Nowicki said having a dad who served in World War II makes her better appreciate the importance of voting. She said any person that has anybody in the service appreciates the honor to go vote.
Mississippi Insurance Commissioner Mike Chaney has ordered a target market conduct examination in connection with the payment dispute between United Healthcare and North Mississippi Health Services. Chaney said his office is working with the hospital and United Healthcare to try to take care of consumers in the area. The insurance department is a neutral party, Chaney said, but the department is concerned about how 52,500 United Healthcare policyholders in 10 Northeast Mississippi counties could be affected by this dispute. At the end of September, Tupelo-based North Mississippi Health Services announced it would terminate its provider agreement with United Healthcare for 2017 because it had not been able to resolve issues over inaccurate payments discovered in April. The examination will review and determine the facts regarding the claims payment dispute. Depending on the outcome of the examination, Chaney could order payment adjustments, fines, and other penalties.
Elizabeth Curley Russell has been named market strategist for the Tupelo Convention and Visitors Bureau. Russell will work to encourage deeper engagement with the Tupelo community for travelers visiting the city. She also will carry out a hospitality training program. Russell joins TCVB after nearly a year as marketing and public relations associate with the Downtown Tupelo Main Street Association. She previously worked for 10 years in marketing and public relations at North Mississippi Health Services.
We want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by South, offering fine dining and a casual atmosphere. You can visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo. South is home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar on Saturdays. You can check out their happy hour specials or their cheap date night, which is on
Tuesdays.
Yeah, so visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo, not North on South Gloucester Street.
You're just confusing everybody.
Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should open North over by the hospital.
Nobody's going to eat there. We're in Mississippi.
What?
What are you going to serve? A bunch of clam chowder and
unsweet
bagels?
Tea and clam chowder.
and gross bagels?
What? Bagels are excellent.
Bagels are only good if they have like blueberries or something in them, or if you slather them in cream cheese.
I don't know. Visit North on South Gloucester Street in Tupelo, opening in 2017.
Pastrami on rye.
Yep.
That actually sounds good.
Yep.
Okay. In defense, grits aren't any good either unless you put a bunch of salt and butter in them.
You need to shut that goatee.
You didn't let me finish the rest of that. Grits aren't good unless you put a lot of butter and salt in them. Have you ever had grits without either of those?
Yes.
It's disgusting.
No, it's not.
If they sit on the plate more than 10 minutes, they turn into something you could seal windows with.
They're probably trying to escape from you.
I love grits, don't get me wrong, but you got to fix them right.
No.
It's like anything
else. They're perfectly fine on their own. I don't like this trashing.
I love grits.
Northern food.
Bagels are, I mean, I'll eat them if I have to. But, you know, I think I need to grow a grits tree in my yard. What? Go pick the grits.
I think it's called
it's called corn.
It's hard,
Brad.
It's hard to pick one grit at a time, but you can do it.
You can grow a cornfield. Corn doesn't grow on trees.
Nobody in here read Louis Grizzard. I made a Louis Grizzard reference and nobody got it. Disappointed in you people.
You seem like the kind of person that would think that corn came from a tree. So.
You seem like the kind of people being writers from the South who would know, who would get a Louis Grizzard reference.
We're talking
about
northern food. Who cares about a writer from the South right now?
We were talking about grits. I made a Louis Grizzard joke.
Coming up next on the memo, Scott Morris will be joining us. He's going to make the podcast great again.
It's a low bar, apparently, at this point. We're talking about grit trees. All right, let's welcome in M. Scott Morris to the program to talk about movies. Scott usually comes on here to try to make the podcast great again. I've been asking Derek now since the election, is America great again yet? I'm going to ask that every day until it happens.
I think it's supposed to happen at day one.
I was thinking, January.
I don't think day one is till when he's inaugurated. At that point, America will officially be great again.
Okay.
But this podcast may still stink without me coming each week to kind of make it great again.
Well, you're going to talk about a movie that a lot of people have been looking forward to, I guess. Doctor Strange, the latest entry into the Marvel canon.
That's right.
It stars Benedict Cumberbatch, so you're off to a good start having him in the movie.
You know,
and he's not only that, he's got a beard, too. How about that? You're saying something. I'm saying I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Brad,
I can just read the review here on air and save you some time.
Okay, Wolf Blitzer.
Death to Brad Locke.
Wolf Blitzer. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I hate the media. No wonder people hate you people. Us people.
Us.
What do you mean us people?
Us people. You people. All right. What was the question?
Doctor Strange. Do you like the Doctor Strange movie? Yes or no?
Yes, I did.
Okay, great to have you on the show, Scott.
Let's go to Iowa now.
Let's go to Jamaica, Wolf. That's not a state I know, but can we go there?
Zany this morning.
Yeah.
As I tried to say seven different times already, you know, some people might we first found out about Benedict Cumberbatch when he played Sherlock Holmes in the BBC series, and
great
we
show.
Watched a little bit of it. You know, Sherlock Holmes is kind of is an egotistical type of character that you still enjoy watching. And Doctor Strange is very much like that. So I think Cumberbatch was very well cast.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about this character. I'm a Marvel movie fan. I haven't really done them is really should be said. I haven't done them. I don't read comics. I haven't really done it. It takes really out and just haven't done it. But the movies, these Marvel movies, I love.
Yeah.
And they understand storytelling. When they bring these stories to the big screen, I'm going to try to be there the first weekend for every one of them because I'm always entertained.
Yeah.
You know, you get action, you get tense moments, and you get laughs in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
And Cumberbatch does a fine job as Strange, who is he's a science-oriented dude. And an egotistical guy, he's in a car accident. He can no longer perform surgery because his hands shake. And so he goes in search of a different type of answer. And so he's a science-based guy dealing with the mystical, supernatural world represented by the Ancient One played by Tilda Swinton, who I'm told that casting caused a little bit of a controversy. How do they say it? How does Jimmy Fallon say it?
I don't know.
Anyway, controversy the way I say it.
Why?
Controversy. Because
whitewashing.
Yeah, whitewashing. It was a white lashing against Asian people playing Asian characters.
Oh, okay. And
so she's a white character playing what would potentially be a leader in Nepal who would be a brown person.
But
she's a fine actress, and
Tilda Swinton can play that kind of role pretty easily.
She can't play brown. She can play ancient.
That kind of character, yeah. kind of character. you know, as you mentioned storytelling, and they're always good at that, these Marvel movies.
I think that Derek just broke something. his diaphragm is going up and down. And
I'm fine.
I've never seen him more red than he is right now. So maybe she could play brown if she just laughed enough.
I could play Red.
Right now you could.
The storytelling, I assume, is good. But it seems like it's a case of maybe the special effects maybe taking the forefront. Because from what I've read, I mean, Marvel special effects are pretty good. Sometimes a little bit eh. But this one, like, it's a whole other level. It's like Inception level special effects.
Inception is a very good comparison. I think that fits the way you... That was a dream movie, and this right. kind of depicts cityscapes and the way the magic works as they're fighting their battles. That seems pretty seamless as they're fighting their battles and going across and these rooms, and then it starts with the rooms, then it's with like buildings, then it becomes whole cities or changing around
right.
based upon these options created by these mystical people and their powers. I would say that there are moments, though, when it just drags, right. It just a little bit too much. A little bit too much time spent when he first kind of gets introduced to the possibility of the mystical world and gets sent through and just kind of, all right, we get the point, which is there's something else to see and something else to see.
Right.
But that said, hey, it's a good origin story. And fans, I would really like to see how how Doctor Strange and Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man, a.k.a. Robert Downey Jr., kind of interact. Yeah. When you get those two egos together, that could be kind of fun in the future.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how does he fit into the rest of the story, the bigger story here?
Well, it's in the same universe.
Right.
There's, and I don't want to give any spoilers, though, but I can just trust me that it's in there. If you see it, you'll see clearly it's in the same universe as
right.
the Avengers universe.
Okay.
And so it all, and as well as Guardians of the Galaxy, there are things that tie everything together.
Hmm. Okay.
I give it an A-. It's at the Malco and Tupelo.
Good stuff. All right. Well, it's one of those that you probably really want to see in the theater, too.
It's a big movie. I mean, yeah. With all the stuff you get to see, I think it would be better on the big screen.
Are they playing it in 3D? Because
there are some 3D offerings, not many. I think there's like one a day.
Okay, because I don't like 3D, but I hear this one might be worth it.
I told Brad at the beginning they hand out barf bags when you buy your ticket and popcorn for 3D.
I didn't see it in 3D. It's available in 3D. I did not throw up when I saw it. But, okay.
All right, Scott. Appreciate your time, man. Thank you, sir, for showing up and at least trying to make us great again.
You know, I feel like we all... four of us just kind of fell miserably this time around, and we're going to try to do better next time. I just feel like that.
How much Sudafed are you on right now?
How many of us are in this room?
I don't know. I was counting. For some reason, I was counting Chris Kiefer twice.
It happens.
I'm not sure why.
Which makes sense.
Maybe the size of his personality and the impact he has on this podcast.
Maybe so.
When he does bad, this whole podcast does extra bad, and so when he does good, it kind of does a little bit better.
As Chris Kiefer goes, so goes the memo.
That's the word on the streets.
So if it screws up, it's his fault.
And that's the word in the boardroom.
Okay.
Scott, thanks for joining us.
Hey, be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock. Or catch the replay later in the day as Bobby continues to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol.
You can also wake up and get ready for your day with Brad Locke. I'm sorry, America, with the Daily Journal's Newsbreak. Haven't we been through enough this week? With the Daily Journal's Newsbreak, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted each Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free, at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. That's where you can see Brad Locke every morning.
Cool.
I think it's time for a format change on that, though. I think
already.
I think we've gotten a little bit. I think we need to build a studio in the back here, and Brad comes in every morning and opens the door. Oh, hi everybody, and takes his sweater off and hangs it up in the closet and sits on the bench and changes his shoes. I'd feel warmer. You know, I think it's be better for all of us. We need a little Mr. Rogers right now.
Need a little trolley car.
Go and feed the fish. Yeah, the trolley car. And
today on Newsbreak, you're special.
Yeah.
And I love you.
Yeah. And everything's going to be okay. Now we're going to show you how crayons are made. Isn't it just better news coming from him like that?
I might give that a shot.
Yeah, I do it sometime. We'll get the.
To actually buy a sweater because I don't have one.
I got the trolley. You could borrow Caleb's. He was wearing a Mr. Rogers sweater when he came in here earlier.
You're saying, Chris?
Yeah.
I think you're too cranky for that role.
Yeah, you probably are a little too cranky. We need somebody a lot calmer.
We're going to learn about crayons, and we're going to
teach you how to make crayons today, and you're going to like it.
John Fitz, maybe. Maybe not.
Only primary colors. We're not messing around with those stupid Richard colors Crenshaw. Like fuchsia. What?
Richard Crenshaw.
Richard Crenshaw.
He could whistle. Yeah.
Advertising. Yeah. Works in advertising, has for years.
Yeah, I think he's our choice for Newsbreak.
He also does a pretty good Elvis impersonation. I've seen him dressed up as such.
Well, I think he should come in and do Newsbreak every morning and calm us all down a little bit.
People may not know, I believe Richard is the voice on our voicemail system, isn't he?
Yes.
That's when you call and don't get
if
anybody.
If you'd like to, please press 1. Welcome to Movie Phone. Hey, you want to talk to me about the scene section?
Oh, yeah. What's going on this weekend? We got the plays and whatnot coming up soon.
Always something in Tupelo. Today, if you're a Mac McAnally fan, you can watch him live in concert with Jimmy Buffett's Coral Reefer Band and the North Mississippi Symphony Orchestra. It's a charity concert to benefit Mississippi-based Extra Table, which donates food to food pantries across the state. That's at 7:30 p.m. at the Orchard here in town. For tickets, you can go to eventbrite.com, extratable.org, nmsymphony.com, or they're available at the door. They're $35 on that. Tupelo Community Theater has a production running this weekend at their off-Broadway location of Company. It's a musical. It's got a literal who's who of TCT performers in this one. So that's going on. Today, Friday and Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Off-Broadway is located on East Franklin Street behind the Bancorp South Arena. Tickets on that one, 844-1935. Hey, Afro Man's going to be in concert
Afro
this
Man. He's still around, huh?
Several times in Starkville. He's going to be in Oxford at the Levee on Saturday night at 9 p.m. Tickets are $15. And VIP tickets, $35. You can meet and greet Afro Man.
Did he get in trouble a few months ago down on the coast with something?
Everybody gets in trouble on the coast. So often. Don't worry about that. Tupelo High School has their production this weekend of The Odd Couple, the female version. That's going on today and Saturday at 7:30 p.m., 2:30 p.m. matinee on Sunday. Tickets are $6. That's a heck of a deal for that show, 840-1841. That's got a huge cast of really talented women doing that production.
So. You did a production of The Odd Couple not too long ago.
I did, earlier this year.
Yeah, how about that?
I directed
it. I forget, did you play the...
I played Oscar.
Oscar.
I played the slob.
The slob.
The news reporter, slob.
Right. World cast.
Art imitates life. I'm not a slob.
No, you're not, but you're a reporter.
I probably have one of the cleaner desks of any of the reporters here.
It's cleaner than mine.
Except for Chris, he has nothing there.
What do you actually do here, Chris? What would you say you do here?
That's what I felt like Caleb was doing at the beginning, off air. Caleb was trying to think about how he wanted to introduce what he was discussing, and all I could think of, I have people skills. I have a clean desk, thank you very much.
Yeah. You do.
I keep it very tidy.
Very neat and orderly.
Mm-hmm. Tupelo Art Showcase going on Friday night at the Link Center. That is a free event and always cool. A really cool thing. It is the best of the best in Tupelo talent, Northeast Mississippi talent, rather, with visual and performing arts. You want to check that out. That starts at 6:30 p.m. Doors open for that. Performances start at 7 p.m. at the Link Center.
Cool.
Friday night. For more information on that, civicballet.org/TAS for Tupelo Art Showcase. And two performances, or productions, rather, from Children's Theater Company Pied Piper Players happening this month, one of which happens this weekend, Willy Wonka Jr.
Nice.
7 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 2 p.m. matinee on Sunday at Church Street Auditorium. $7 tickets. That's always a good thing to go and support. Okay. This has been going on for 25 years in Tupelo.
Didn't I see where there's going to be a sequel to the
it's going to be
Willy Wonka
prequel.
Movie? The prequel. Yeah, it's about his childhood or something, isn't it? Which they kind of touched on in the last one.
And the Johnny Depp one?
Yeah.
I refuse to watch that one.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
No.
It's fine.
You don't touch Gene Wilder.
I like Johnny Depp, though.
You leave Gene Wilder alone.
Say, this production of Willy Wonka's got our old buddy Kabir Gupta.
Yeah.
I see, dude's all I over see the place. Picture in there from the our
playing
winner
Charlie
of our
Bucket.
Movie challenge and been on the memo.
Yeah.
Run home, Charlie.
Won our movie challenge last year. Yeah. And we had a story, the kid that we had a story about a couple weeks ago that wrote a book. I think Kabir was one of the co-authors or had something to do with it. The sixth grader that wrote a book.
Yeah, yeah.
I forget his name, I'm afraid. But, yeah. So, young, talented
yeah
kid right there.
There's a lot of talent in Tupelo.
There is. A lot always, of good young
talent. Always something to do.
Not in this room, but elsewhere.
Well, not on this general side of the room. But.
Hey, I liked your column today, too.
Thank you. Yeah. Did you read my column, Brad?
I posted baseball. It. I haven't read it yet.
No. Baseball.
I figured it had to do with the Cubs. You're a Cubs fan. Yeah. And I hope everyone who's not an Indians fan, because pretty much everybody else is happy for the Cubs.
They like to be called Native Americans.
If you're not happy about the presidential, if you're not happy about the presidential result, just remember the Cubs won the World Series. Okay, this is something to be happy about. Even for me as a Cardinals fan, I'm happy for my Cubs friends. So let that maybe rule your emotions this week. The Cubs are champs. Now, that could be a sign of the apocalypse.
Maybe.
One of many signs of the apocalypse from this year.
I call that foreshadowing.
2016 has been a weird year, which I'd like to get into more detail on that. I guess toward the end of the year would be a good time for it. Who knows what else will happen. But all the really famous people that have died, I mean, the crazy election, the Cubs actually winning, the Cavs coming from 3-1 down in the NBA Finals last year, this past season. It hasn't been boring, Derek.
Tis not.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's it for the show today. The memo for this Thursday. Today's episode brought to you by South on North Gloucester. As we mentioned earlier, they have a cheap date night, so try it on Tuesdays. You can get 2 meals for the price of 1. You get salad, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for just $25. That's South on North Gloucester. They serve grits.
Visit us at West on East Main Street in Tupelo.
We're on South Green Street. Just saying.
Northeast
Mississippi Daily Journal.
The Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal on South Green.
Don't tell them where we are.
1242 South Green Street.
Brad's phone number is 662.
Well, what's your plans for the weekend, Derek? Okay, cool.
I hadn't gotten past today yet.
I feel you.
I got another column to write and local folks to write today. So
I figure I'll try to enjoy the weather because it's going to be amazing the next few days.
Is it?
I mean, some rain would be nice, but I'll take, 60s and clear skies all week. You?
Yeah.
Sure? You seem so enthusiastic about
it. I'm good with it.
Okay. Derek's fine with it. Derek's running out of steam. We should probably wrap this up, Chris.
Yeah. I just saw something that made me sick. So.
Okay, well, we'll let you deal with that after we go off the air. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. You can find us again a variety of ways. You can stream this at memo.djournal.com. You can find us in iTunes or any of your podcast apps for free. Just hit the subscribe button, and then you'll get notified each time a new episode drops. Follow us on Twitter at djournalmemo. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Derek's at W. Derek Russell. Chris Kiefer's at Chris Kiefer, funny enough. And that's it. We'll be back on Monday to see if America is great again yet. Until then, have a great weekend.